law offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti. Righty, righty, righty. Here we are back again, yet again, another episode of the Slaw Office with Russo, and Peretti. And it's a little different. We're gonna keep it sports related. Obviously, that's what we do. But we're gonna mix it up a little bit. We're gonna talk a little UFC. For the first time on the show, we had some interesting news go down today amongst the UFC, with some fines handed out, some suspensions handed out, and even some, I guess, licenses handed out. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll get our opinions as far as who we think is winning these fights, or who we think even they're going to be fighting, or who it's going to affect the most. We'll talk a little college basketball. We've touched a little bit on it before. We're going to kind of get into it. We'll touch a little bit on it. We'll talk about as March is approaching. We've talked about our one seeds, but let's talk about some teams that are really looking up. Some teams that are really impressing us. We'll dive a little bit on NBA trade talk. We've got some rumors stirring around with a big AD and his trade request. We'll talk a little bit about that. And obviously, we'll get into the Super Bowl prediction. This is our prediction show. This is the one you want to listen to because Vegas, you know, you might want to make some money. This is how you're going to do it. You'll listen to us. We'll teach you the ways of what's going to happen, and we'll tell you how that game's going to go down and all that good stuff. So first off, let's start off with UFC. Let's knock this thing out the park. Let's see what we got. Some of the news that happened today, being Tuesday, whatever the date is, 29th, basically what went down. The light heavyweight champion, John Bones Jones, he has been cleared to fight in the state of Nevada for UFC 235, which is March 2nd. Now, Jones is... he's failed many of these drug tests. He's got to go through all these now. He's got to go through two a week until the fight occurs. He actually has to pay the extra, actually pay for the secondary drug test each week. UFC will not do it. I guess, let's see. I mean, what do you feel about this? Do you feel like he's given enough chances? I mean, this isn't the first time, right? So what's going on? Nick, what do you think is going on with John Bones Jones and his licensing situation?
So I have a real opinion on this. He's been my favorite fighter for, you know, about 5 years now. When I've been introduced to UFC for a long time, but I started following it more and more as I got older. And I just really like his style. I like his personality. I like his just everything he does. He's an orthodox fighter. I just enjoy watching him fight. But he doesn't really deserve another chance. He's going to get it, and I'm still going to watch him and root for him, and I want to see him succeed. But no, he doesn't deserve a chance. I think this was his third failed drug test. I think it might have been his third time being banned. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Right. This is the ban for the steroid. This is a positive test that he took for the metabolite, the picogram or whatever it is.
He's also popped for cocaine. He's been making you know, poor decisions, but nevertheless, I think he's at his weight. I think he's the best fighter in the world. He's defending his championship belt. I think he's going to win, but. The situation is kind of sketchy. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to be able to abide by these rules because he's proven to us over the last 3 and 4 years that he hasn't matured and he's still making bad decisions. And I don't think he'll end up finishing the year.
Okay.
Under a UFC contract.
Okay, Kyle. Since Nick says he's not going to finish, here's my question, and I'll ask you this, Kyle. I want your opinion on this right now. This is a state thing. This is a state license. This is for the USADA, the Nevada State Boxing Commissioner. This is their license allowing him to fight because it was he was eligible to fight everywhere else, but obviously the Mecca, the MGM Grand, this is where it's at. This is in Vegas. This is the big fights. My question to you is: at what point in time does UFC start implementing a UFC-wide ban, so to speak, a company-wide ban for somebody who tests positive for these steroids. Because, I mean, you're not seeing a lot of that. You're going to get the Nevada – because it's more – I think, if I'm not mistaken, I know UFC does the drug sampling or the drug testing, but I think it's a state-based thing. I think it's all – but when do you see UFC as a company implementing these bans, these steroids, these HGH, similar to how MLB does it? MLB isn't a statewide thing. This is a complete entity. This is a company.
Yeah, I was about to actually touch on a different sport, that being the NFL. The NFL's that's a physical sport. That's a contact sport as well. So let's kind of correlate these two. In the NFL, you only get a couple games here. Then it's a half a season here. MLB, it's different. It's popped a couple times. Third time, you're gone.
I think it's like 30. Season. What is it? 30, 90, and then...
Yeah, half a season, whole season, and then you're just gone or something like that. Or a whole season, two seasons, and gone. But, no, I don't think that the UFC is going to change it. I think they're going to keep it as just banning them for a year or making them get clean again. And once they're clean, they can fight again. I think that's the main point. So, no, I don't think that rule is going to change at all. No.
Okay. Nick, I mean, so Kyle's saying, no, the rule's not going to change. It's not going to be a whole company-wide thing. My question is to this. It's. I mean, to what extent, and you're a huge Jones fan, you love John Jones, I get it, he's your guy, but to what extent do you stop rooting for this guy? To what extent does he still make, I mean, this dude is still main event.
I mean, he'd have to do something pretty bad because I want to see him succeed.
Testing positive for cocaine, bro.
That's a person. That's a life decision he's making.
Okay, but here's the thing.
I want to stop supporting you and wanting to see you succeed because you were making bad decisions. It would have to be something for me to just be like, man, like that's just disgusting.
Isn't his first one. We've already established this. If you go in the NFL, you test once, boom, boom, you test twice. And they do suspend you for longer than you think. I'm pretty sure you can get X-nayed on the, completely deleted out of the NFL. I mean, here's the thing. You miss a season in the NFL, that's big. You might as well just call it a career.
Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah, but the same thing happened today with Henry Mejia, though. He got reinstated after being banned. I'm a Mets fan, so I followed that because he was a high draft pick, a well sought after prospect, and he kept on popping for PEDs. I think he popped three times, and he got a lifetime ban. They banned him from the sport for life, and he's back, and now he's on a roster. I think the Cleveland Indians signed him. So I think that it's all. It really what it boils down to is money, and the UFC know that guys do things illegally. Right. They have a drug test. They have rules in place. But there's so much money involved that I think all they really care about is that you can pass the drug test and you can be ready when it's time to do business.
So
NFL is similar. The MLB is similar. I feel like all of them kind of
right.
There's underlying belief that everybody's cheating. Don't get caught.
So morals and ethics are just thrown out the window is what you're saying. At what point in time?
I believe, yes.
Yeah, so at what point in time? Now, me morally and ethically, like I can't, I mean, you know, once, twice, boom, you get it a third time and we're going to suspend you and you're done, then you should be done. At what point, I mean, I say, look, I'm all about stripping the title. I mean, worst case scenario, like if you want to punish the guy, strip him from his title.
Keep
him from fighting.
Cheating doesn't make you.
He's done. Fighter. Yeah, but here's the deal. You're right. But here's the deal. Here's what I'm getting at. And this is, and like I said, I mean, I don't follow UFC nearly as much as some of you guys do, but I do keep up with it enough to be relevant and to be as a fan to be able to comment on it. But my thing is strip the title from him and don't give him any main cards. Like, that's where you're going to make your money. You want the guy to suffer? Stop putting him in main events and allowing him to come back and fight. And
put him against lesser guys, and he absolutely demolishes them. He is one of the, if not the best fighter in the world, he's one of the best, one of the top 10 fighters in the world.
Well, the dude is talented.
You put him up against lesser competition, and he's, I mean, it's not even a fight.
Well, that's where you make your point, because the guy's never lost inside the ring, I don't believe. And
he's got a loss. No, he's.
I thought Anderson
Silva beat him. Yeah, Silva beat him once.
I stand corrected. But I think where he gets a pass is I think this is the first time he's got busted for a PED, whereas right. the other two were just drugs. So I think
he swears up and down he had no idea about it.
Everybody more or less
in this situation.
Everybody more or less even is saying, like, even knows, like, hey man, that's the his first two charges are really not even
right. It's more personal. His first two charges are personal, but that's something that UFC does have. It's UFC. Yeah, UFC's got to start step. They got to step in and they got to start a pro, not a starter program, but they got to step in and say, "Hey, dude, here's the deal. You got to stay clean for so long before this happens because this is. I mean, you just postponed the fight what four months ago, something like that, and now you're bringing him back. Like, if you're gonna make a statement, in my opinion, you make a statement. You make an example. He's the top dog. He's the light heavyweight champ. Make an example of him, man. Says, look, here's the deal. You don't know about this, but you do know about the cocaine. You do know about the other drugs. You know about this stuff, dude. How many chances? Look, there's plenty of good people in this world that don't give but one chance. You know, this guy is now going on his third and fourth chance, and you know he's continually messing up. There's plenty of people in this world that do that and they keep getting chances.
He has been twice for PEDs.
Yeah, I think this was his second, right?
This was his third. That's what we were saying. This was his third strike. He was banned back
But for PEDs or?
Yeah, for 15 months, a 15-month ban in California in 2016.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at is the months. It's the statewide. It's a California ban. Like, UFC morally and ethically needs to step up and say, no, I'm not going to make this a state ban. This is a UFC ban. Give me your title, bro. This is number three. I mean, three strikes, you're out in baseball, right?
And it's hard to say that you're one of the best in the world if you're cheating to do it. And it sucks to say because I really like the guy. I think he comes from a strong athletic family. I mean, for those who don't know, both of his brothers play in the NFL. I mean, he's the one who fights. Like, he's a bad dude. And they're both bigger than him.
So, I don't know. Like, I mean, that's what I think. I think UFC needs to do something morally. I think they, or ethically, they need to step up. They need to strip him if this comes down to it. I mean, you've given the guy enough chances to prove himself. He's a great fighter, but I mean, how clean is he when he fights?
Are you to the point where you're ready to put Dana White on the couch over it?
Dude, I mean, I don't even have a couch, but Dana White's a smart guy. He's very smart. He's very crafty. He's all about making that money, you know, but that's where his morals stop. He's about making that money. I mean, let's take, for example, the money he got into Conor McGregor and Khabib.
Floyd fight.
Yeah, but it did that too. But I'm just saying, like, how much did he make off of that? And now he's fighting McGregor and Khabib. They're also suspended, right? Nick, what do you got? 9 months suspension for Khabib, 6 months if he does some anti-bullying, right? And then I think it's what McGregor got 6 months and 3 months if he does anti-bullying, which
I didn't see the anti-bullying.
Yeah. I know Khabib, they said his whole ordeal was he's got 9 months and a $500,000 fine for what he did. For those of y'all who are listening that don't really follow a lot of UFC, Khabib and McGregor fought several months ago. Khabib submitted McGregor. And apparently he's got some personal beef with one of McGregor's trainers. He hopped up over the fence, went out into the crowd, and started a brawl. Well, McGregor obviously followed suit, and all kind of stuff went haywire. Khabib, they have been lulling over this decision for months now. And coming down today, which is crazy. We got a lot of stuff going on in UFC today, so it's perfect timing. But basically what's going on is Khabib's done for 6 months. I mean, excuse me, for 9 months, he's been fined $500,000. Okay. Now, that was his he had a $2 million purse and he got fined a fourth of it. And then, like I said, McGregor received his 6 month suspension and only $50,000. But as far as I looked at it, they retroacted all the dates, but they said Khabib could come back. He's got some local anti-bullying, and he can come back 3 months early if he does that. Kyle, what are your thoughts on the aftermath? I mean, $500,000 to $50,000. I know Khabib started it. He initialized it. He went out and went forth with it. What do you think about it, Kyle? I mean, you think that's – I mean, $500,000 fine, that's pretty steep, right?
I mean, that's steep, but, I mean, once you jump into the crowd and start throwing blows, I think it's warranted.
I mean, Ron Artest didn't get fined $500,000.
Well, I mean, this is a fighting event. You're licensed hands. Like, you are a licensed weapon. Like, you're
I mean, the dude, crowd. Ron Artest's name, Meta World Peace, dude. I mean, he's got to be about these hands.
So, I mean, that's like a baseball
player. Ron Artest doesn't have registered lethal weapons attached to his arm.
We don't know that.
I, I'm surprised. I'm kind of surprised that McGregor got fined what he got fined, because he kind of got like rabbit punched in the back of the head, kind of snuck by two of Khabib's guys. Yeah, I think he might have taken a swipe back, but I'm kind of surprised at that one. But no, I'm not surprised. I would have said yes. It was a harsh of a penalty or fine if he didn't jump out of the ring. But I mean, once you jump out of the ring, it's getting crazy at that point.
It's about
officials have to get involved, police have to get involved, security. So at that point, yeah, you're putting people at risk.
Khabib also I forgot to mention, he actually had his cousins or and his teammates. I'm not even going to announce the names because they're so hard for me to understand. They actually received 1 year suspensions for their involvement. Now they got fined $25,000 each. One of them's a lightweight, a PFL lightweight, and the other one's just his teammate. I'm not sure if he's like I said, I've never even heard of him before this event. But they got fined 25 each, and then they actually got, like I said, suspended for a year. So I don't know. I mean, Nick, 9 months too much. 6 months okay with anti-bullying. $500,000 once again. $50,000 for McGregor. What do you think, Nick? You got thoughts on it? Or are you just gonna?
I think they made about it. I think they were making a statement. I think that, like Kyle said, these guys have weapons on their hands. They can literally kill you with their bare hands at any point in time, and they're putting the public safety at risk. I mean, those people don't go to a fight and pay hard money, and have to fear when somebody's going crazy. I mean, that was chaotic. That was scary watching that. It really was. I mean, I was curious what was going to happen. Is somebody going to get hurt? I mean, that was really nerve-wracking.
Nick, if you're front row, are you running or are you throwing a punch?
I mean, I'm not running, and I'm definitely not throwing a punch.
But I'm saying, like, I mean, chaotic. I mean, here's the deal. McGregor is used to chaos. He is the definition, in my opinion, of controlled chaos. When he wants to be, the bus incident, throwing the chair or whatever he threw at the bus and breaking the glass, and all his drama that he's put on, his hype. He's the Flavor Flav of UFC. There's no doubt about it. You know, when I mean, look, I'm not gonna lie. I thought he fought real well against Money Mayweather. I thought him and Floyd went. I thought they had a good bout when they actually fought. I actually watched it. Which was crazy because I've been watching boxing a long time, since like the days of Riddick Bowe and Lennox Lewis, and you know, the big heavyweights were there. I feel like boxing is a small man sport now, and I just want that power, that punch. But I don't know, like, I just think he's used to it. And then Khabib really went off. He like a loaded gun, literally. But he did go after. Wasn't it Connor's like a trainer? Wasn't it a trainer or somebody on his team?
His jiu-jitsu coach.
Right. So he went after him, and I get it. Like, I mean, you got these lethal hands, but I mean, the dude can probably defend himself for the most part. I think the $500,000 steep. I'm not defending Khabib for his actions. I'm a Connor fan, and I still think Khabib. I think Khabib's got. I think he went pretty steep. I mean, $500,000, dude. That's a lot of money. But Dana White's got to make his money, right? UFC's got to make their money back. What else? I think that's it. That's pretty much it for UFC. Anything else? You got any thoughts on anything? Nick, Kyle, anything?
No, I figure once the the big card is March 2nd, I think.
So yeah, March 2nd.
Once that gets a little bit closer, we'll kind of take some predictions. I do want to see some of these guys fight.
Yeah, we'll even predict the whole
Russian
card.
The Russian Big Z, he's fighting. I want to see that. He's fighting Jeremy Stevens. And then
– okay, yeah. Good.
And then obviously the card.
We'll pick a couple cards. We'll pick a couple matches out the card. We'll give our opinions on it and see what we're going to do. And we'll go from there. So let's see. Where are we going to go to next, guys? We did the UFC. We had fun with it. Let's bust. I want to go straight into the NBA trade talks. I'm sorry. Like, all the rumors that's swirling around right now, the biggest news that's dropped over the last couple of days is Anthony Davis requesting a trade. He's also got fined for requesting this trade. But he requested this trade, made it public. He wants out of New Orleans, and I don't blame him. Kyle, do you blame him for wanting out of New Orleans?
No, I don't blame him at all. I think that it's a smart move for him. It's good for his future. He wants to win a championship. I mean, I think we could all come into agreement where we believe he's going to go. I think that's why he was ultimately fined, because that word has came out. I think the NBA just wanted to get ahead of it. But no, I think AD, like, unless Boston comes up with something crazy and is able to pull some crazy move to get AD there as a free agent, I think he's getting traded to the Lakers, and I think the Lakers are basically going to be LeBron and AD and run it the rest of the year. They're going to lose a few good pieces. They have a center that's playing pretty well right now, and they're going to lose Kuzma. I mean, they're going to lose a lot of guys.
I think you got to let Lonzo Ball go too. Yeah, I think you're giving up everybody.
Yeah. Now, Lonzo has talked about being let go. He publicly, at least according to reports, he actually said if he's going to go somewhere, he wants to go somewhere where there's not a point guard, where he could be the starting point guard.
There's not too many teams without starting, at least quality starting point guards, though.
Yeah, so he's good enough to beat most, though. I mean, Lonzo's got talent.
Yeah.
I didn't think New Orleans could take another L like this. Like, the city of New Orleans just cannot take another L like this right now.
Well, I mean, I talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I think earlier in the year too, but especially a couple weeks ago when we talked about MVP race, that, I mean, everyone knows AD was probably out of there. I mean,
yeah, I think it was a given, but you know, the timing sucks.
Market, they can't really, you know, have two big deal guys there. So, I mean, and no one's really wanting to go to New Orleans for basketball. So, I don't think there's really any love lost there. I think it just is what it is. People saw the writing on the wall.
Anthony Davis, I've lived in this state for a long time, and the Pelicans have been relevant since Anthony Davis has been around.
Chris Paul was around. They were relevant.
They were relevant. I'm not saying that, but but since Anthony Davis has been there, since he joined the team, they have been a better team record-wise. They have been more of a contender. I'm not saying Chris Paul hadn't.
I got to call collusion. Is this the third superstar, if AD goes to the Lakers, is this the third superstar that they've gotten from New Orleans over the last few years? I thought Kobe didn't the Pelicans draft Kobe.
No. That was the Hornets.
I mean, the Hornets, but it was Charlotte. New Orleans. So New Orleans – or no, Charlotte?
Yeah. It was Charlotte, though.
Okay.
It was Charlotte.
Okay.
So, yeah, it wasn't yeah.
Well, the team name changes, man. It was the Charlotte Hornets at the time.
Yeah. It was the Charlotte Hornets at the time, and then
the New Orleans Hornets,
and then they went from the New Orleans Hornets to the New Orleans Pelicans, and then they brought back the Charlotte Bobcats, or whatever they are now.
Okay. And also, I don't know about you, Rob, but I've requested plenty of trades in 2K, and they've never fined me 50 G's.
Well, yeah, I've done the same, but it's only once, and no, they've never fined me. That's the Chris Paul rule, though. That's dating back to
collusion.
It's
tying hands. Like,
was the other player. It was Chris Paul. So I'm wondering, like,
hey, Chris, yeah,
they tried Chris Paul.
Right. Well, yeah, the Chris Paul rule is that's why I said the Celtics would have to make some crazy play in free agency, because legally they can't trade and still keep Kyrie Irving on the same team and then receive Anthony Davis in a trade. So
why? They have other superstars. They have enough pieces that it's a fair trade to give up Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and Gordon Hayward. I mean, that's a lot of capital. And that's not counting Terry Rozier. You know what I'm saying? Al Horford, they have other pieces. They have a lot of capital. If they wanted AD, AD, you can get the most for him out of the Celtics, I think.
Yeah, for sure. But you still have to send draft picks. Like, even with three guys, you're still sending a first round draft pick.
Oh, I don't think so. Not with those guys. If you had Tatum and Brown and one other of those names, and just Gordon. I mean, I feel like Gordon Hayward, those three are enough for AD. Like, I think any team would be cool with that. Knowing AD's leaving no matter what.
Am I the only one that thinks the league is way too high on Gordon Hayward?
You know what? No, I don't. I don't, you know, because I've actually.
I like Gordon because he plays well.
I actually like
Gordon Hayward.
He's a good player. He's not, but here's the thing. He has not been the same since he broke his ankle as well. When he was out in Utah, there's no doubt about it, Gordon Hayward was a stud. You can't sit there and deny it. He has not been the same since it. Now, granted, the guy only had 5 minutes in Boston before it happened. So you can't – I'm not going to knock Gordon Hayward on that. I think he's good. I think he's – as far as their offer, look, let me tell you something. I'm going to let y'all know this right now. I really feel like y'all think he's going to go to L.A. I think he's going to go to Boston. I know you don't think that. I'm telling you right now, I think he goes to Boston. And he can do it while Irving does remain on the roster under his contract. There is a way to start all that, and there is a way to do it. I promise you. They have plenty of people to offer. Gordon Hayward is one of them. He's got $33 million. He's under contract for a couple years. He's got plenty of room. Al Horford can be moved. You know what I'm saying? These are all people, but there's value that'll come back to them. They get some sort of trade bonus off of these guys, by the way. Marcus Smart's worth freaking $13 million. And then you still got young talent. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, these guys are good. You can take care of those guys. You can get them out of there. You got other people, Aaron Baines. You know, you've got people that you can get rid of. So, Nick, I do agree with you on that. It's not just – I don't know if you're choosing L.A., but – and siding with Kyle, but I'm just saying, like, my whole thing.
I think AD goes to LA. I think that was the plan all along. I thought that going into the season, if I'm being honest.
We all thought in free agency wise he was going to be gone before that.
I thought it was LA the whole time.
Okay, but here's the thing, there's nobody else in Cleveland. Nobody else in the Eastern Conference. So Boston, who's very close, picks up AD for, let's say they get rid of Hayward and maybe Jaylen Brown. And then maybe one other in a draft pick. I don't know.
I would be ecstatic if I was New Orleans and they gave me those three players for a guy who's leaving no matter what. Players who are under contract, three young players.
New Orleans has
you can instantly be relevant in the West.
Right. The Pelicans can be mad. They're mad at the
because of that fine. He's gonna come out any day now and say that he's going to be a rental player for 1 year. If he gets traded, he's going to go straight to L.A. with LeBron, yeah. And they're going to be a super team with Kyrie Irving.
I don't know. I think he. I don't know. Well, that whole
sick.
Deal.
I'll be sick over it.
That whole thing. There's so much.
You should love it. You're in love with LeBron. Why wouldn't you?
Bro, because LeBron went to the one team. LeBron went to the one team that I will not support. I hate the Lakers.
I know, but did you see LeBron's shirtless Instagram post? I bet you got so crazy that couch got so messy over that.
Oh, dude,
I did not.
Wasn't wearing any Lakers stuff. I mean, it was
I haven't watched a single Lakers game this year.
He was shirtless.
Part of my job as a co-host of this podcast. But I hate the Lakers. The Lakers, the Yankees, the Cowboys. I mean, they're all equal footing. I'll throw the Titans in there too, because F you.
Because F you.
F you. All right. So, anyways,
punk, come see me.
All right. Let's stop. All right. So, viable options. I say Boston. Y'all both say L.A. Is that right?
Yeah, I got. I'm going to L.A.
Okay.
And then build a super team in L.A.
Building a super team in L.A.
Yeah.
Everybody's pretty much tradable except for LeBron. Is that correct? Is that what you get?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. They might even send Magic.
Okay. So no possibility he swings anywhere else, basically, than L.A., maybe Boston. What about New York?
Not a chance.
No.
Not a chance? Okay. Sixers, 76ers, they got a lot to offer.
Trade-wise, I think there's multiple teams. But free agency, if he goes to the
I'm talking about viable options.
No one's going to be willing to because they don't trust them. They're just going to be giving away their future for 1 year. I don't think
think you're winning a championship.
All these young teams, Philly, Boston, all these teams that are relevant aren't going to do it. Maybe, right. who knows, maybe the Raptors give up everybody to have Kawhi and AD for 2 years, you know, or a year. Right. Because Kawhi's only there for a couple of years. So who knows? Maybe they
throw. I think Kawhi's a free agent too. I looked it up after.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they go Kawhi AD for 1 year and say, screw it. This is it. Because, I mean, the Toronto, I think we can all agree that Toronto's at the end of their rope. But, I mean.
Right.
So
The one team I really wanted to see something happen was the Nuggets, Denver Nuggets. I like Denver. They're a good team. They're up and up. They just, there's nothing. I don't think there's enough to do in Denver. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's Colorado, but I don't think it gives the buzz like LA. I think LA is going to do well. I think
what Boston's if Kawhi goes to LA? What? Wow,
he is. I think it's going to be LeBron, AD, Kawhi, and Kyrie.
No,
I think they're
Jesus.
Out. No, Kyrie and KD to New York.
No, dude, no. New York.
I don't know. New York is New York. The only thing that's going to happen is Carmelo's going to sign back with New York and finish his
career. The thing is, they're going to try and get like
they're going to try to sell a couple tickets from Melo because Melo's going to. I mean, he's. You know, I was excited as a Rockets fan when they said, "Oh, they got Melo and he's okay with coming off the bench." I'm thinking, dude, Melo is a scorer. He's a shooter.
No one wants Melo. I mean,
the Bulls traded for him and cut him. Such a cancer, man. It's crazy how
if he wasn't going to work in Oklahoma City, he wasn't going to work anywhere.
Well, I knew he wasn't working in Oklahoma City after a couple months. I was like, dude, he's not even happy. He's not getting the ball.
I was excited. I thought he was going to be nice with him and PG.
Yeah, well, PG's having an outstanding MVP caliber career, by the way. He's like setting career highs and points and everything. He's like second in steals.
Kawhi Leonard is low-key having the best season a Raptors ever had.
Yeah, but that's not saying much.
Well, I mean, they had Vince Carter and they had Chris Bosh.
Okay, but first of all, Vince Carter's not an MVP caliber player.
I think Vince Carter got a Hall of Fame vote. I think he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Like I was saying, Carter is not.
It might be a little early because he's still in the league. So
okay, but Vince Carter is not. Vince Carter is not an MVP caliber player. Vince Carter is the human highlight reel back in the day. He was that guy to dunk and do all that stuff, but he couldn't give all. He couldn't be the one-man show. Obviously, that's why T-Mac was around, and then they killed it, and they did so well together. So Vince Carter.
I just want to bring up that next year, Kawhi and Kyrie are both free agents. So
I don't think Kawhi is going to go. I think it'll be if AD doesn't go to Boston, which I don't know. I think he's got a shot.
Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson,
Kimball Walker. Hold on, I think that okay, you done? Okay, so your super team is going to probably be, if it works out in LA, it'll be AD, LeBron, and Kyrie. Because Kyrie already admitted today or yesterday or whatever how he wouldn't mind a reunion with LeBron. So just throwing that out there. All right, enough basketball talk. Well, at least pro basketball, college basketball. Everybody want to talk a little bit about some NCAA basketball. And I know Kyle is super excited because he's a fair weather LSU fan when it comes to basketball because he's all about the SEC. So he's the guy that if LSU loses, he'll root for Kentucky. Just so you know.
I mean, no, but I'm not like football. I will root for bowl games. I will root for the SEC in football. Maybe even cross when we play the ACC. I'll definitely root for them.
I'm freaked out.
Yeah, and I will. I mean, LSU's my schools, but I mean, yeah, I'm a bigger football, baseball guy, and we're good every 8 to 10 years. So it's nice to dive into basketball every time we are good. So
well, Tennessee is the number one team in the country. I mean, the guy – and look, we were all wrong. Let's go ahead and admit it because none of us picked Tennessee as the top four, remember? We all backed out. We were like, oh, it's going to be too tough, too hard. Their schedule is going to be too grueling for Tennessee. They're not going to make it. Now, they're not undefeated. They're 19-1. But, I mean, over their last couple games, they've exposed some stuff. They struggled a little bit against Alabama. They beat Vanderbilt.
Vandy in overtime.
It's conference play. Right. It's conference play and being ranked number one. You're getting everybody's biggest game.
It's getting tough for Tennessee. We know that it's like you said, it's conference play. It's getting tough. Now they haven't played. They haven't played any ranked teams. Let's throw that out there for right now. Remember, we were not high on Tennessee, but they're about to start playing teams like Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? They play A&M. They play Florida. They're going to play LSU. All these teams are coming up next week or within the next, next 10, about 15 days, 16 days.
It gets real deep in the
it's going to get tough. Play. I mean,
you're about to get knees deep in conference play here.
So I guess I'm going to say it like this. We did not believe in Tennessee, right? To start it off, we didn't. We'll be the first to admit it. Do now. Now that we're where we are right now, is Tennessee going to get a one seed?
No.
I still don't believe so either. I think it's still early. I think Kentucky beating Kansas, I think that's telling. I think Kentucky's more proven right now. We'll see about Tennessee, you know? I mean – the SEC, it looks like if you go on the road, it's a hard win anywhere you go in the SEC.
Yeah.
On the road. LSU's won two games on the road. One was what they're calling was an escape job, but it's tough to win on the road. These teams are for real in the SEC. A lot of these teams are long and athletic, and that makes up for if they can't shoot as well, they're out-rebounding teams. So, I mean, it's a very physical game. But, no, I still think – the ACC is the class. I think the Big 12 is right behind the ACC. There's a lot of good teams. Gonzaga, honestly, I thought they would, you know, I mean, they haven't had too tough of a schedule either, but I thought they would fall off at some point. Virginia has surprised us all. I think Virginia has been that team. We were kind of sleeping on them. I think they got mentioned once after that performance against Florida State, and then they've kind of taken off ever since.
Yeah, I mean,
their only loss is Duke, who's ranked number two.
Yeah, Duke's right ahead of them at two. I mean, ACC seems to be the conference once again. I know that the SEC, like Kyle, is number one, but the ACC still seems to have that niche. Duke and Virginia, 2 and 3. You still got UNC at 9. They're a top 10 team. Louisville and Virginia Tech, they're all right there.
At the whole conference, they're just tough.
I mean, they're 7. They're 7 top 25 teams from the ACC. That's almost a third of the entire
They're
top 25. But here's the thing. They're going to beat each other up. So,
listen, y'all got me excited. Y'all done got me all. I mean, March is fast approaching, and that's when the real craziness begins. But LSU is sneaky. If Florida was 16-13 and only had 3 losses right now, they'd be a top 5 team. And LSU is not getting the love that they deserve, but they're undefeated in SEC play right now. I do not like to pump their I need to pump my brakes because I do not like to give LSU any blowing up because Kyle does that enough. But they have a top 10 RPI. Surprisingly, Tennessee has they're ranked 4th in the RPI right now, so they have played a tough schedule. I guess tougher than what we had originally thought. So I'm kind of curious to see like how this is all going to go, because I was thinking Tennessee wouldn't be in the top or number one seed because if they lost a couple of games, I figured their schedule wasn't tough enough to keep them relevant. But with their RPI being ranked where it is, I think they can afford a couple of losses and still get that opportunity. I mean, Kansas is on a losing – I mean, I don't know that they're on a losing streak, but they've lost 4 games. They're not – and they're ranked number one right now, so they must have lost a couple recently.
Kansas is at 11 right now, and I would say
there's number one in RPI. That's what that is.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying. Well, how for real is Houston? Because I know LSU's got 3 losses. One loss is to Houston. Another loss is the overtime in the Florida State. And then a back-to-back loss from Florida State was in the Oklahoma State. So, I mean, but how for real is Houston at 20-1? Are they ranked too high, too low at 13? What do y'all think? Because there's – I mean, Nevada's 19-1, and they have them at 8. So, I mean, how different – programs.
I mean, to me, they're similar.
Watch out for program.
To me, they're similar programs. You're looking at RPIs. You're looking at as far as scheduling. You know, Houston, they haven't played as tough of opponents as you would say, like a Duke or North Carolina or teams that have might have lost two and three games that are still in the top 10, top whatever. Houston's a good team. Houston's going to be good. They've got crazy athletes. I wouldn't say that it's too high of a ranking for them. I think it's a suitable ranking, anywhere between, you know, 10 and 13 at this point in the season. It's kind of like UCF, you know, some scrub-ass team from a scrub-ass conference who plays nobodies and gets undefeated. They still can't be ranked in the top four. So I wouldn't be too upset if I was Houston in this situation.
And Nevada's only up there because they were 19-0. They just came off a loss.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm wrong.
No.
No.
Houston's a strong team. Didn't Houston make the tournament last year?
Yeah, Houston. I mean, I think Houston's good enough to make a run in the tournament.
I'm pretty sure they made a run last year. They're a good squad. I've seen a couple of their games. Obviously, one was when they played LSU, and their home crowd is rocking, man. That's a underrated place to go in and play. I mean, that was like, I'm not going to say like Duke or anything like that, but it was crazy. It was a crazy atmosphere. It was all sold out. Well,
the stadium, I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, the stadium that or the arena that they play in, it's not a small
no, arena, it's big.
But they pack it the right way. It's kind of like how Seattle has everything where it funnels, you know, in the NFL, Seattle, the Seahawks, how they have their, how loud it gets the way they have it. Because they, Houston at home is not a bad team. I mean, they're good, especially at home. They're good. They're hard to beat, but yeah, they're legit.
They just seem complete. They have good ball movement. Obviously, this is a small sample size. I've only seen two and a half games, actually. From what I've seen, they move the ball well. They shoot well. They rebound well. I mean, they play stellar defense. They get out and run. So, I mean, they're just athletes. So, I feel like they'll make a run this year again. I mean, I think they made one last year. I can't remember how deep, but
yeah.
I think you gotta still watch out for Villanova. They're still sneaky. I mean,
Villanova's
always they're well coached.
They're like Marquette. They're gonna be there. They're gonna. That's a school that just breeds basketball.
Right. Like, yeah, Marquette's one of those teams where it's like, you know, you may have a couple years off, but
like all those old Big East teams, you know, those are just premier programs. They're just vintage programs that if you play basketball, you just need to go to one of those.
Right. So, I don't know. Like I said, Houston, I think for real, I think they're going to be a good, I think they're going to be a decent buy. They probably won't get anywhere past maybe the Sweet 16. They'll make a run, though. So.
I guess I'll go ahead and mesh the two since we're closing off on basketball for the day and just say the Knicks are really, really playing this year for Zion Williamson. Like, I mean, they're trying so hard. They've been trying since October.
Do y'all resign Porzingis then? What's going on with that? He's a free agent next year.
Already? That's coming up already because I feel like we only drafted him two or three years ago.
It was on the list. It was Durant, Kawhi, Kyrie, Clay.
It's gonna be.
I think they were just calling that the new Knicks starting Kimball, five. I Kimball think they were just Walker. Calling that the new Knicks starting five. I think you're just Kimball naming Walker. Off their starting five next year.
Anyways, we want to branch. I don't know what the Knicks are gonna do. Zion Williamson, he's going to be the number two pick, though. I still think R.J. Barrett's the number one. I think he's I don't know. Like, Zion is incredible. His athleticism is through the absolute roof.
And if he works hard and continues to you know, play it's off of be, that, he'll be
the number one pick because of guys like LeBron. Because they've seen the guy with the physical freakness talent who can develop a shot will be the best player.
Yeah, if he
at his worst, he'll be Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a good shot. He's not
a sharp
shooter by any means, but he'll be okay. I don't know. It'll be a close run. I mean, they've got a couple guys. Next week, we'll talk a little bit, since we're going to get closer to March. Next week, we'll talk a little bit actually about March Madness, about the players who maybe we think is going to win the Player of the Year and stuff like that. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to end it on the Super Bowl. Let's end it on the Super Bowl. It's coming up. Super Bowl is 5 days away. Super Bowl Sunday, the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams after they beat the New Orleans Saints, who choked. And Kyle had absolute no faith in Drew Brees in overtime. And that you heard that here last week, by the way, that he had no faith in Drew Brees in overtime. Yeah, but he's his, but no, that's his, but that's his quarterback.
I said zero faith. See the fake news there. You see that? You hear that, people? The fake news.
I don't have to hear it. I heard it last week.
I had no faith in Drew Brees. I never said I had no faith in Drew Brees.
Hey, Nick, you got 2 minutes. You got a minute and 40 on the clock. Who are you going to go as with your quarterback?
Listen, man, it's Tom Brady's not losing this year. He lost last year. He's not losing back-to-back. He's the GOAT. He's Mr. Consistency. Bill Belichick versus Sean McVay. I like the young coach. It's Bill Belichick. The run game, Julian Edelman, offensive line against a solid defensive line in the Rams. It's going to come down to big plays. It's going to come down to special teams. And at the end of the game, he's going to get out-coached and out-quarterbacked by Tom Brady.
What's your score?
24-27 Pats.
Kyle, what you got? Talk to me. Give me your insight. Give me your final score prediction. Who you got in the Super Bowl?
Like I said last week, and I'll keep preaching, a run game's a quarterback's best friend. I think the Patriots do get a run game going, though. I think, unlike Nick, I don't think it's big plays that keeps us going for the Pats. I think it's check down Tom, who checks it down 85% of the time, and guys make plays for extra 4 yards, get in third and shorts or second and manageable. I think the Patriots win. I have 31-28 Pats.
So check down Tom, who was deadly on 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 10 last week for 12 and 15 yard passes.
But yeah.
I got you. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Tom Brady may be check down Tom, but Tom Brady is also unstoppable Tom.
No one said he wasn't, but he is a check down Tom at this point.
He's about to be a Super Bowl Tom.
This ain't champion. Tom Brady with Randy Moss.
How many rings is he going to have? Is that 5 or 6?
Six.
He's going to have to go into a second hand.
He's Jordan-esque. I mean, you hit 6, and you are now the Michael Jordan of football.
Tom Brady.
That he's going to have as many rings as the Steelers organization, I believe, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the Cowboys, right? Yeah. Cowboys got 5 or 6.
I think the Cowboys
have 5. Cowboys, it's been so long since they had them. They could have 0 right now. So I don't even have the VHS player to watch.
Lions Super Bowl came out the last time the Cowboys won a damn Super Bowl.
What was it, Lion King? That was in 94, right?
Yeah, so yeah, it might even
that was back when I was a young warthog. So anyways, I'm gonna make my prediction. It's New England winning 31-17.
Clean sweep. Oh
yeah, hold on. Now this is here's the deal. It's so
lock it.
I hold on. The only way now I feel like it could be like 27-21
is there a line out right now?
Oh, there's got to be a line.
There's got to be a line. It's going to change.
It's going to change. But here's what I'm looking at.
I think it's going to be a 4-point line.
If Todd Gurley plays the same way he played last week, 31-17, I don't care about C.J. Anderson. I really don't. He does great. That's cool.
Meet him in the hold-in.
But it's Bill Belichick on the other side. It doesn't matter. Now, Todd Gurley is one of those athletes, one of those running backs that you can prepare for, but you just might not be able to stop. You know what I'm saying? They've got that ability. They've got that athleticism. He's got that it factor that if he turns it on, it's hard to game plan for Todd Gurley. He didn't show up last week. He was absolute atrocious. They pulled him. He just couldn't play worth a damn. I feel like if he plays that same way, it's 31-17. If Todd Gurley comes to play, it's a closer game. I still have Pats winning 27-21.
I like it.
Guys, that's it. We're out of time. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in.
Nick, that's the first time we've all agreed on something.
I know. It's crazy. Nick, you got a closing argument? You want to get it in?
It's not so much as a closing argument. It's just, or a statement. He's been getting a lot of love this playoffs, and I think he's deserved it. And I just want to continue on that. This fool Julian Edelman, man, he's just out there making plays. He catches everything thrown at him. He's Mr. Reliable. He's smaller than everybody he's going up against, and he just keeps on showing up. And he's there every time. And I know that Tom Brady makes guys better, and I'm sure that he has made Julian Edelman better. But there's times that Julian Edelman has helped make Tom Brady look great too, and I'm glad he's getting his due.
I agree with you. I think Edelman is a monster when it comes to that game right now. He's been doing everything that needs to be done and everything that's been asked of him. And it's crazy. He's a little bit bigger and a little bit fat. I remember a time when Wes Welker played and Julian Edelman played on the same team. And everybody, I mean, Wes Welker. And picking fantasy, it was like, Welker. And it was like, man, what about Julian Edelman? You know, pick him in the late rounds and let him go crazy. Julian Edelman has blossomed into a better Wes Welker, a faster, a taller Wes Welker. I was a big fan of Wes. Wes is one of those players that was hard to guard and you can't cover because he runs such precise routes and he catches everything. Julian Edelman's the same thing, but he's faster and he's bigger.
I'd say Welker had more wiggle. Edelman has more shape to him.
I think Edelman's got better hands too.
There's a little.
I don't know, man. Welker didn't have. I mean, dude, Welker didn't drop many balls.
He had wiggle in his route. Where actual
Welker dropped that one ball. Remember in the Super Bowl when he dropped that one ball?
Edelman could drop.
Pretty sure Welker has better stats though. Because Edelman's stats aren't great. His playoff stats are terrific. But Edelman didn't get to play for like 4 or 5 years of this to start his career. Just like Robbie was saying. I mean, he was like the third string backup. Like he was like the third string flanker. Yeah. Like,
and you had Moss come in, and you know,
I would say we could agree that he's a top 10 receiver in the league though, right?
I think anywhere else outside of New England, no. I think outside of New England, outside of him having a great quarterback, no, I don't think he was gonna.
That's very hard to say. Yeah, you're right. I'm with you, Nick. That's hard.
It sucks that you just made me say something bad about a guy. I'm trying to close my night off.
I know. Complimenting. That's what we do here. Guys, listen. It was fun. We had fun. As always, we'll be back next week. We're going to do it again. We're going to recap the Super Bowl. We'll start talking a little bit more college basketball. We'll gear up to maybe talk a little MLB, you know, spring training coming up soon. We may pick our favorite team, which we pretty much know who that is, but we may talk a little bit about them and see what's exciting. And
Wes Welker has way better numbers. Edelman had 2 seasons of over 100 catches. There were 104.
Yeah, Welker does that like 6 times. Yeah.
And he did it like 112, 122, 123, like every time. Yeah, he balled. And he had 20 more touchdowns than Edelman over his career.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We're signing out. Done. The court is in session or whatever it is. The court is adjourned. There you go.
Sawed up.
We appreciate y'all.
That was all the money we had, Karen.
Like, share it, comment. Nobody cares about the Tigers.